From the Town Fair Tire Studios, Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. The Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub Headlines.
It is noon, which means Rochy is officially 4 hours away from freaking out if J.D. Martinez does not become a Red Sox officially. According to Ian Rappaport, despite publicly contemplating retiring last season, Martellus Bennett wants to continue to play. He's due a $2 million roster bonus on March 14th. He has a $6.2 million cap hit. Sox will face the Twins, 1 o'clock first pitch. And again, we're waiting on the J.D. Martinez official announcement. There's been a delay with his physical and all those kinds of things. Many reporting that the delay is likely being caused by a combination of due diligence and logistics. Celtics finally back tonight in Detroit to play the Pistons. Marcus Smart is expected to play. Shane Larkin will not play. Celtics tonight, 6:30 right here on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network. Bruins play the Maple Leafs in Toronto tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Bees traded forward Frank Vetrano to Florida for a 2018 third-round pick. Some NFL notes. Adam Vinatieri and the Colts agree to a one-year deal. Jameis Winston cited for careless driving last week after he was involved in a minor collision in Tampa. And finally, some major men's college basketball news from Yahoo Sports' Pete Thamel. Players from at least a dozen Division I programs have been identified as possibly breaking NCAA rules through violations that were uncovered by the FBI's investigation into corruption in the sport. The identified schools include Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Kansas. At least 25 players are linked to impermissible benefits, and at least 6 players were identified in the documents as receiving payments exceeding $10,000, including Dennis Smith Jr. and Markel Fultz. Headlines brought to you by the Great American Franchise Expo. Meet franchise pros at the DCU Center March 3rd and 4th. The first 100 attendees receive a free VR headset. Details at franexpousa.com. I'm Nick Cattles. Next headlines coming up at 12:30.
Want to stay connected to Boston sports?
Who do you root for?
Connect with Boston's home for sports online. 98.5thesportshub.com. Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many things that I want to say. You know I like my girls a little bit older. I just want to use your love tonight.
Let's go!
0985.
Yeah, let's go! Let's do it!
Where's Reese?
What does that have to do with it?
He always picks on Mike.
Oh, yes. Mike Reese is always a target. Yes. So. Always a target.
617-779-0985. It's an anything goes type of Friday here on Zolak and Bertrand. Rochy in for Zoe today. Nick Cattle's with us as well, in for Hardy. 617-779-0985. We started off the day talking about the Bruins, who yesterday made a trade that I think evened out their pre-deadline moves. Moving Frank Vetrano for a high third-round pick that I think sort of matches out the overpayment that was made in the previous deal, which now I think has them set up to do something big and do something significant, and I think that is their desire prior to the deadline on Monday, and I think that's what they're doing, and I think they're right for doing it this way. I'm giving them credit before they've done anything. Not supposed to do that, but I just feel good about what's going to happen here with the Bruins over the next couple of days.
Well,
I think we might be on the verge of a blockbuster.
The lines kind of give you that in practice today.
Blockbuster.
For the Bruins, you go to their defensive pairings, Chara, McAvoy, Krug, Carlo, and then Grizzlick, Miller, Holden, McQuaid, and Postma have all rotated through within each other. There's like a multitude of defensemen up at the major, the big NHL level with them.
With the big boys.
So, yeah. So I think that something's going to happen. It has to happen in the next several days.
Well, a lot of people would look at this team and say, they'd like to add a forward, right? They'd like to add a wing on the second line aside Krejci. And so if you think that you are going to add, you know, dealing Vetrano is interesting because he is some forward depth. He's not anything great, right? But he's somebody that could theoretically be thrown in there to replace one of these young guys if they're not working out anymore. So the fact that you dealt from your forward depth, it could set you up to make some kind of big deal. And we hear that they're still in the mix for McDonough. Nash is obviously still on the block. Grabner was dealt last night. You do wonder if the Bruins are sitting back kind of waiting and seeing if the price drops. And if the price drops, maybe they try to jump in on McDonough and Nash. And that would open things up to maybe you deal Krug, maybe you deal that, you know, Krug's contract within the parameters of that kind of deal. But I wouldn't be surprised if they pull something. I think, you know, I'm interested to see how Bruins fans feel about this deadline, because I think there's hesitation from some regarding Sweeney and the deals that he has made at the NHL level.
Absolutely.
And even though Vetrano's deal yesterday, I think, was a great deal to get a pick in the high third round for a guy like that, right. I think that's a great deal. But aside from that trade, a lot of his other deals at the NHL level have not been good. So I wonder if it's people don't want the Bruins to make a move, or they're worried about the idea of Sweeney making a big deal because they're worried about the repercussions of that deal. Who does he give up? Is it too much? Does the chemistry get blown up on this team? Those kinds of questions.
Well, and I also wonder who's untouchable, you know, from a Bruins fan's perspective. You got to figure Dante Heinen is one of those guys, right? Just because of how good he's been and the continued progress that he makes. You know, would you give up a DeBrusque if you had to in a certain situation? Those are all questions that I think, you know, Don Sweeney's probably sitting there saying, okay, you know, I can give up some Providence depth. I can give up the Frank Vetranos of the world. But I don't know if I want to mess with the chemistry that this particular unit has. That's all part of it, too. And if you get a big guy like McDonough, then that's going forward for not just this year, but several years.
Yep.
You do that.
I mean, what do you think the biggest trade that Don Sweeney has done to this point? It's got to be the Lucic trade.
Yeah.
That's the biggest deal he's done. And that was not a deadline deal. That was one that took place in the offseason. That was Milan Lucic for a first rounder, Colin Miller and Martin Jones, who they then flipped for Sean Corrali in a first.
Yeah. You know, when I look at your question, Rochi, about who's untouchable, to me, you only have a couple of guys. I mean, McAvoy is absolutely untouchable. I would think anybody on that top line is absolutely untouchable. Other than that, I'm open to dealing Carlo. I'm open to dealing DeBrusque. I'm open to dealing Danton Heinen.
Are you really?
Yeah. I'm not open to dealing all three. I'm not open to dealing two of the three. I'm willing to give up one of the three. If you're telling me that brings back someone like McDonough, someone that's going to help this team, yes.
Oh, if it's anybody with term, yeah, you start being willing to give up those guys. And even if it's not, if it's for someone that you really think is going to help put you over the top, and I would say if you're going to add a forward and you're going to add someone like Rick Nash, then you've got to be willing to give up a little something.
Yeah, you have to give up something to get something,
so maybe you're
the
not
old saying, right?
Maybe you're not saying at that point, hey, I'll give you any of the young guys. You're saying, well, no.
Two out of three?
For us, it's Carlo. We're willing to trade you Carlo right in this deal.
Right.
Right? And so that's how you get that deal done.
I mean, I know some people love Carlo. I'm not in love with the guy. I think he could be good, but I'm not in love with him.
And we've talked about him a lot, especially when Billy Jaffe's in. And it's a matter of not knowing what he's going to be. Right?
Right.
You don't know what he's going to be.
I think he has horrendous nights like last Saturday night, where just your head is spinning because he's not playing well. I thought the end of last year he was very uneven. I thought the beginning of this year he was very uneven. I can see the, you know, I can see the skill and the idea, you know, big kid, kind of the shutdown defenseman. He's not going to be, you know, supremely offensive on the ice, but you can look at him and you can kind of envision somebody who can be that shutdown D on the right side. But is he going to have the consistency? And I think the problem, which Jaffe brought up earlier this week, Beetle, to us, he says, you know, you usually don't know what you have in a defenseman until he plays 250 games at the NHL level.
Right.
And so it's really a scout game with Carlo. Do you believe
it's
after
projection
that?
Projection game.
Right.
Absolutely.
After you have that 250 game, after you hit that benchmark, what is he going to be? Is he a top, you know, two or three D? Is he someone who is going to continue with that inconsistency? I don't know. So if you tell me I can get McDonough for Carlo, a prospect, and a pick, I'm making that deal because I know what I have in McDonough right now. And he has an extra year on his contract. The one question I have is to Sweeney, whether or not Big Sweeney's looking at a deal like that and saying, I'll make that kind of trade if I can keep McDonough long-term. And I'm not just talking about a year and a half. I'm talking about, hey, do we have a chance to have him sign an extension here and stay here? And now you have to look at the books and figure out what kind of contracts are holding you back, what kind of youngsters you're going to have to sign an extension, right? You're going to have to sign McAvoy to a huge deal eventually. So who are you bringing in? If Donato works out, what's he looking at? So there's so many different aspects of this trade deadline for the Bruins. I just find it fascinating. You don't want to blow up too much of the team because they have so much chemistry. The most pivotal job to me that Sweeney has right now is selecting the right guys to deal. He's got to pick the right young talent to trade, because if he picks the wrong guys, you look back at this and say,
absolutely,
man, they had it set up for an 8 to 10 year period, and Sweeney blew it by dealing the wrong guy.
And now you look at it from Don Sweeney and Cam Neely's perspective, is you have one of the top, arguably, two or three teams in the entire league. Do you want to disrupt that at all? From the sense
of... Well, yeah, because it's not going to stay a top two or three team once you get these older guys get older and start fading.
But I'm saying this year.
And this is why I say...
Do you legitimately sit there and say, do you have a chance to win a cup this year?
You have a chance, but why not increase those odds? Why not become a team that becomes a favorite to win the cup?
On what you do. It depends on what you add and how much you have to give up, like Nick's saying, to disrupt the current team. And I think that's what's going through Neely and Sweeney right now. We talked to Neely last week when they had that reunion, and he said it's a good question. It's a question
that's operating in a vacuum, though, because as we said earlier today, Rochie, these other teams that are in contention, they're going to add. They're going to make moves before Monday. They're going to add as well. They're going to get better.
And we don't know. We don't know what the Bruins, you know, when they look at this team, what do they think this team is? Last week, Cassidy came out and said, yeah, they've exceeded my expectations. They're playing better. You have a March that is going to be very active. You look at the rest of their schedule, they're pretty much playing a game every other day. So is this team that we've seen through the beginning of the season and through the All-Star break, is this team going to be able to give you the same kind of production as the schedule picks up? Is Chara and the amount of minutes he's playing, is that going to make him look aged in the next month or two? Is Bergeron going to slow down because of that schedule? Can you keep Krejci healthy with his history in this busy schedule? The young guys, the DeBrusks, the Heinens, all of those individuals that have played some good hockey here, when the schedule picks up and they get close to the postseason, can you bank on that youth to come through and play and produce for you? I don't know. And I wonder if Neely and Sweeney look at this team. You go back to the Celtics last year, people were pumped and jacked about the trade deadline, and Ainge did not make a move, and part of that was because Ainge felt that that team was not a true, legitimate contender to the point where they could be one of the favorites, not to just make a deep playoff run, but to win the whole damn thing. So does Sweeney and Neely look at this team and say, yeah, we're good. We could be a contender if everything goes right, but we don't think we're as close as some fans think, so we're not going to touch this thing.
That'd be the worst case scenario, is if they don't touch it and they get eliminated early, right? That'd be the, okay, everyone would be like, come on, really?
What did
so
you have?
That's
what
the gamble, though. You know, that's the gamble. That's what Sweeney has been preaching, is patience to let these guys make mistakes, come up here and get better. And like Billy said, to, you know, give Carlo those games to see if he is that, you know, top four defenseman permanently that's going to give you 10 years at that position.
All right, Bruins in the mix today as well. 617-779-0985. Back right after this.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jim just told me my internal clock needs adjustment because of the break being a little bit shorter now.
Listen, I'm like...
With no more of that minute of sports that shall go unnamed.
Shall go nameless forever. I know I'm new to things here in the midday, filling in and all that, but I would agree with Jim on that.
Yeah.
Seems like you need an adjustment.
Yeah, just need a tweak.
A tweak.
Like a daylight savings time switch, you know? Just a minute.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Mario.
Just ignore that comment.
Mario's in Fall River. Mario.
Hello?
Mario.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I was just wondering, what did you guys think about Evander Kane coming in instead of Nash or making a big trade to get McDonough?
He had issues. You know what I mean? You have to worry about, I think. So, good player, but I'm not sure.
He's had, like, problems with his teammates and stuff,
yes.
Right?
What, yeah.
What's going on with him? I don't know the full story on Evander Kane.
He's had issues before in the past. So I'd
he's young, though.
26, I think.
Young player. Yeah, what's his deal?
I don't know. I have to look up
exactly
what they were.
I don't know what his deal is. What's his issues? If you want to shout down that caller on Evander Kane, you can feel free to do that as well. 617-779-0985. Also today, want to get back to this, which is Rob Gronkowski needs to let the Patriots know what his deal is. And by saying what his deal is, I mean he needs to let them know if he's leaving or not, if he's going to retire or not. And not only that, because I think that answer is no. I don't think he's retiring. He's got to get on the same page with the Patriots about whatever his contract of requests or demands are going to be before the new league year starts.
You know, the question for the Patriots is, do they think that this is somebody who is 100% in? Do they feel like if Gronk, even if Gronk says that he wants to stay,
right?
If he's even contemplating retirement, do you feel like he's going to be all in when he shows up to camp in July? Is he going to be someone who puts all of that aside, everything that he's been thinking about, Hollywood, WWE, the injuries that he's had, is he going to be able to put all of that aside and focus 100% of his energy on football? You know, if you're the Pats and you have those kinds of questions, then it's not as easy just to sit down with Gronk and say, yeah, we'll pay you as the top tight end of the game. Because if you truly question whether or not he's going to be mentally in it. I mean, we just saw what happened Super Bowl 52. Some people think that Butler didn't play because Belichick didn't believe that he was focused during the practice week and that he was all in on certain things. So you've got to first figure out how dedicated, how committed Gronk is to playing this year. And then you have to think about it on your own terms if you're Belichick and whether or not you want to take the quote-unquote risk of paying a guy that much money when he's been thinking about leaving the game. Because once you start to think about leaving the game, for a lot of guys, that changes the way you approach the game and play the game. Is Gronk going to be able to say, yep, I'm sliding that all to the back burner, and I'm going to go across the middle. I'm going to take these kinds of shots. I have to take up the seam to make a play. Or is he going to have something in the back of his head because of the injuries and because of him maybe wanting to walk away that says, maybe alligator arm every once in a while? I mean, I personally think Gronk, if he plays, he's going to play and he's going to play his style of football.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But if you're Belichick, those are the kinds of questions you have to ask yourself now because of this storyline. You have to.
Or you have to figure out if he's being genuine or if it's just to get more money.
That too.
Right? If they think, stop it, Rob. We know how much you love football. We know how much you want to play.
Fair point.
And we know that this is about getting more money. So
fair
what,
point.
And this is the other part of it. I think we've talked so much about, is he going to play? Is he really contemplating retirement? Okay, let's work on the assumption that he is going to continue playing football. There's still another element that the Patriots need to figure out. And at the very least, have an idea of what it is he's going to want or need monetarily speaking, that is different from his deal right now.
What's he making now, about 8 or 10?
Yeah, I'm not saying that they need to get to where they get a new agreement in place in the next couple of weeks, but they have a way of planning for whatever it is it's going to be that they do to adjust or negotiate a tweak in his contract. They got to know these things. I think it's only fair if you're him to let them know, right? I mean, last year they went to him and they renegotiated to, you know, get him more money, but they also got something back and that he needed to be healthy to play. So I think they've worked in good faith with him over the last couple of years. He wants to get paid more. They got to figure out what that more pay is going to be.
Yeah,
they're going to have to pay him. If he wants more money, he's going to get more money one way or another.
His base salary 2018 is $8 million. So he's looking at around $8 million. And I think if he wants to get paid as a top tight end, I'm pretty sure I've heard the number like $10.5 million or so floated out there.
So if you're going to be $2.5 million apart, are you going to let that lead to the breakup of you and Rob Gronkowski?
Absolutely not.
No shot.
How much do you save in Dwayne Allen? And if the Bennett thing doesn't work out, how much you save there?
So here's the other news today.
Right off the top.
If you haven't heard this yet, this tweet came out from Ian Rappaport less than 2 hours ago. He reported, despite publicly contemplating retirement last season, Patriots tight end Martellus Bennett does want to continue playing, I'm told. He's due a $2 million roster bonus on March 14th, so New England has a decision. But his $6.2 million cap hit on his contract going into next season, not so bad. I think he gets cut before then.
Yes,
absolutely.
And that doesn't mean they don't want him. It just means they're not going to pay him out that $2 million bonus.
Absolutely.
Because they are in a even more serious situation about continuing his career. He talked openly and publicly about retiring, said he was retiring, said this is going to be it for me. Then he got let go in Green Bay, had all those issues leaving there, ends up here, plays a game, gets hurt, is done. Now he's saying, oh no, I still want to keep playing.
Well, Bennett, if you look at, I just pulled up the tight end contracts because we've talked about Gronk.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Graham, his average annual value, if you want to use a baseball term, was $10 million a year. He signed a $40 million contract. So if you're Gronk, you're looking at, I would think, $10.5 million, $11 million.
Sure.
As far as Bennett, you know, Bennett's like the 13th or 14th highest paid tight end in the game. Are you willing to, I mean, we can look at the cap hit and we can compare it, which I think Rappaport is doing. You're comparing it to the rest of the league. You can't do that. You've got to compare his cap hit to other tight ends in the game. And then you say, okay, well, you have a guy like Zach Ertz making $8.5 million, for example. Greg Olsen, $7.5 million annually. Is Martellus Bennett worth paying a $6.2 million cap hit to keep? No, he's not. And that's not even thinking about how he was contemplating, another guy, contemplating retirement this past year.
Right.
Even just the value of him because of his injuries, he's not worth $6 million.
I think it all ties in with, we said earlier, and Beatles said it with the retirement of Gronk. If Gronk's serious about retirement, then you absolutely want to find a way to keep Bennett in the mix, because then you have that, you know, fewer options at tight end. If Gronk says he wants to come back, you approach Bennett and say, listen, you came here, you wanted to come here, you wanted to play here with Tom Brady. That was the reason why you didn't retire. So you've got to come to some type of an agreement and say, listen, we can give you a smaller bonus up front, but you're not going to make anywhere near, you know, that 6.2 or what have you, just because you're a second tight end on our team.
I mean, let's look at it simply.
Right? It's pretty simple.
When you break it down simply, the Patriots were unwilling to pay this kind of cap number last year when Bennett was healthy, coming off of a very good season, a guy that they knew really well. They were unwilling to go there money-wise last year. Now, fast forward a year, he contemplated retirement. He's had at least two injuries that we know of last year physically while he was with the Packers, and then he banged up the hamstring or whatever with the Pats. So, and he's aged a year. There's no way on God's green earth the Patriots are going to look at that and say, oh yeah, we think you're worth $6 million. They're going to have to come to an agreement some way, somehow, and I think it's not going to be a gigantic challenge for the Pats to do so if they're interested in bringing him back, because I don't know how much value he has around the rest of the league. He is somebody who has dealt with injuries a lot. He is somebody, you know, you remember the reaction around the league with how he left Green Bay, the circumstances, right? A lot of people thought he just straight up quit on that team. Rodgers was hurt. He wanted out. He tapped out. He got out. So I don't know how many teams around the rest of the league are looking at Bennett saying, oh yeah, we want that guy on our team. We want him to be a part of our program.
Absolutely.
617-779-0985, the telephone number for you. Also got a story about the Denver Broncos that Rochie's really interested in talking about. He really wants to get to this one.
All right. Yeah.
You brought it up earlier first hour, and I told you to slow your roll.
Jim Louth, our producer, was like all into it, too, and we were talking about it back and forth. You had a story in our pre-meeting, you know, when everyone shows up at 5 minutes to 10, and I'm there at 7.
Oh, there's a shot at you and
I was
Beatle,
in there 9:15 today.
I was in at 9:45, honestly.
No, I was just kidding, guys.
All right, we'll get to this story on the Denver Broncos after headlines.
Yeah,
Rochie.
Sports Hub Headlines.
According to Ian Rappaport, despite publicly contemplating retirement last season, Martellus Bennett does want to continue to play. He's due a $2 million roster bonus on March 14th, so the Pats have a decision coming up in the next couple of weeks. His cap hit, as we just discussed on the show, is $6.2 million. Sox will face the Twins. 1 o'clock first pitch today. They're still waiting to announce the J.D. Martinez deal after yet another delay yesterday. Many are reporting that the delay is likely being caused by a combination of due diligence and logistics regarding his physical that he took. Celtics finally back on the floor tonight. Detroit play the Pistons. Marcus Smart expected back. Shane Larkin not. Celtics tonight, 6:30, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Bruins play the Maple Leafs in Toronto tomorrow night. Yesterday, the Bees traded forward Frank Vetrano to Florida for a 2018 third-round pick. And finally, major news in men's college basketball from Yahoo Sports. Players from at least a dozen Division I programs have been ID'd as possibly breaking NCAA rules thanks to an FBI investigation. The identified schools include Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Michigan State, and Kansas. At least 25 players are linked to impermissible benefits, and at least 6 players were ID'd in the documents as receiving payments exceeding $10,000. Headlines are brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Visit now for a 15-minute oil change. You can stay in your car and no appointment is ever needed. I'm Nick Cadillac's headlines coming up about a half hour.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
Hello?
Go ahead.
What was that?
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And here's the story on the Denver Broncos, Roach. Are you ready?
Here's the rub.
Here's the headline. Denver Broncos do away with paper tickets for 2018 season.
Marinate, soak in.
Sink in.
Let your listeners hear that, exactly what that means. I don't know if anybody realizes what that exactly means.
All right, well, let me tell you what it means.
A lot of old people are going to be mad.
ABC7
and confused.
In Denver. They say, don't forget to take your smartphone with you if you're planning to attend any Broncos games this year. You'll need it to get in. The team is doing away with paper tickets for the 2018 season.
Hmm.
The change applies to both single game tickets and season tickets. The Broncos will not be sending the tickets through the mail, and ticket holders will not be able to print off their electronic tickets at home. Instead, ticket holders will need to use the free Broncos 365 app or the internet browser on their mobile device to access their tickets. The team says the change is intended to cut down on fraud and counterfeiting.
Think about that, though. That's the beauty of a lot of in sports. For a lot of kids, a lot of families, hey, I got tickets to the game, and you flash the tickets at them as a gift, you know, at Christmas or holidays, and hey, you want to go to the game?
Well, you can wave the app in front of them.
Look, I know, but it's not the same feeling.
We got an app.
They say Broncos fans have used mobile ticketing significantly over the last two seasons. More than 35% already accessed their tickets through this method. We look forward to all of our ticket holders experiencing the benefits of mobile tickets, and we'll work with our fans to make this a smooth transition.
I do it at the movies. I've been doing that for a long time. I do it on planes now when I can. So, I mean, a lot of people do it, but it's going to be a major overhaul for some people. Guaranteed, it's going to be like, what's going on when they're not accepting or can't print tickets? It's going to kill them.
It says, for fans without smartphones, the Broncos recommend calling customer service for help.
Nice.
Well, wait, what's
that's
the help?
Yes.
There you go.
If you're not going to print paper tickets, why am I calling you?
And
this is bad.
You don't
this
get
is,
the,
this is
we go
dumb.
In the game, Pops.
This is a dumb change. I can see if you want to transition people to as many digital tickets as possible.
I have to see that commercial again.
But doing away with this...
We go in the game, Pops!
...altogether is downright annoying, and it's inconvenient.
Right, what's your story, Paperless?
I mean, this... Oh, we want to cut down on the counterfeiting. We want to cut down on all the fraud.
It's convenience.
What happens when you go to the gate with fraud tickets?
See ya.
Do they let you in?
No.
Has that been a problem for the teams? Well, you bought fake tickets. That's not my problem.
What's going to happen when people... I don't know about you, but you've used these mobile tickets, and sometimes, you know, the screen's freezing up. Sometimes you can't pull them up. Sometimes so many people on their phones, your phone is slowed down. And it's like you're going to be sitting there waiting for a couple of schmucks inevitably in front of you fumbling around their phone, trying to figure it out.
It's like the airport. Still, to this day, people have some problems when you go to the airport. People that haven't flown in years, don't know what they're doing. You got to find that. How, what about, Beto, we look out the CBS scene, and we what do you see?
Rest in peace.
Masses of people, right? Masses of people trying to get in to Gillette Stadium.
Yeah.
Stop.
Oh, I'm sure this is going to really speed things up.
I mean, like,
they'll
have to have customer service representatives on hand.
It's going
to
be a disaster.
Waiting with them.
Yeah, and you got people tailgating for hours drunk. Right. Oh, there's going to be at least a couple dozen fights every single time. Every single game, there'll be fights.
But I'm going to tell
you, lots of fights.
This is the way it's going, and it's bad. It's a bad trend. It's not good for fans.
Why?
It's not.
It's progress.
It's a hassle.
No, it isn't. Dial it up your phone. It takes 2 seconds.
Hassle.
What is going on?
Not everybody's got a smartphone.
When I go to the movies, you just...
Not everybody's got this capability.
You email your tickets and go, poink.
I mean, I'm sure there are tons of season ticket holders.
That's the sound.
Who have had their tickets for 30 years out there in Denver, have never sold their tickets, probably go to every game, get their tickets, take their tickets to the gate, get them scanned, and go enjoy the game. And now they're being, no, you can't do that anymore. Now you need to make sure you have it downloaded onto your phone. Why?
My brother's a season ticket guy, and he takes all the physical tickets that he gets, and he's downstairs in his basement, his little man cave. He puts them up all against the wall.
That's a big thing, too.
As a memory, And you can't do that. I just think...
I've been to drafts, too, when you have, like, Red Sox season tickets. You go to a draft, and you say, I'll take these two tickets to that game,
game. Ticket draft.
When you get that big package of, 81 games, that's how you separate it and all. Now it's going to be all, we'll just do it over the internet.
I might sound all old and crotchety here, but I love the whole physical ticket thing. Just give me the damn tickets.
I'm with you. I absolutely love...
Rochie just did a 180 there. So what's the big deal to... It's better to, I'm with you. Rochie?
I don't know.
I was so confused.
You're trying to play radio, so I'll take whatever side you want.
It's actually going to be easier for security people to, sneak people in,
Isn't that what you do?
Because a guy just flashes his phone. They don't know nobody knows what's on the phone.
So I've had
as opposed to having, a ticket that you have to give
I've had mobile tickets before where you get, four tickets on your phone, but I'm like, can I split these up so everyone I'm with gets one on their phone? I've always been confused by that.
What if you go with three small children,
The few times,
no phones, they don't have phones.
Right,
three small children.
The few times I've dealt with this, I've thought, wow, this is really not the greatest system going. But I'm telling you, this is even happening. I know that, I know someone that has Celtic season tickets and they're completely mobile.
Yeah,
they can't print them out. They're a newer season ticket holder, so I don't know if that factors into it. You might be able to get grandfathered in, but his tickets are all mobile. So if he, lets someone else use his tickets, he has to send them to your phone so you can go to the game. Yeah, that's the way it is. And if it's to cut down on resale, which is what I think their real intention is here, right? They want to be more in control of the secondary market.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge factor because you can't...
I think there's always a workaround. There's always a way to work around whatever the systems are that are in place. So what? If you sell the tickets now, all right, the person who's selling them sends them to your phone. That's so hard? I told you about...
How do you know they're authentic?
I went to a concert at the Garden a couple years ago, and the tickets were one of those events on Ticketmaster where you have to swipe your credit card at the gate to get in.
I've never done that.
Yeah, and I've done it probably half a dozen times at shows before where you have to swipe your credit card, and you don't get any tickets until you get to the gate. You swipe the card, and it prints out these little Ticketmaster receipts that give you your seat numbers, and you get a paper ticket upon going through the gate and through the turnstile. When I did that, I bought tickets in the secondary market. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to work because they were saying there's no paper tickets issued for this show. You had to swipe your card if you had floor seats. And I bought it on the secondary market, and in the mail, I received a disposable ATM card that was linked to the purchase.
Wow, that's
weird. Went to the gate, swiped the debit card that didn't have a name printed on it or anything, and out came the two tickets, and they were
really?
Here you go. That just told me there's going to be a workaround for everything. People will figure out the workaround for whatever it is you're doing.
No doubt. No doubt. They'll figure it out.
I mean, if you go to that great length, they must have found a way to get around the system and get their tickets printed. No, they sent me a debit card. And we're like, this is what we bought them with, so go through with that. And then when you're done, throw the card out.
Wow.
It's dead. There's no value on it.
I think having that physical ticket, that's an emotion. That's going to be an emotional story for people.
I don't think kids care.
All right, we'll get to your calls on this next because what do you know? You mentioned ticketless events, and we have full lines on this. People are upset. People not happy. People want to collect their tickets still. And I think the Broncos are making a big mistake.
That's like at the Super Bowl. When you get your ticket, you have like the lanyard.
Yes.
And it's a souvenir.
Very special.
Now you just have one of those like marks.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Adam in Plymouth on ticketless tickets, if that makes sense. Adam, what do you got?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. But you guys are killing me with this news. So I actually am a ticket stub collector myself, and I have one ticket to every game Brady has actually played in throughout his entire career. And over the last couple of years, you know, the Denver Broncos have been going that route, as have the Jets and Bills. And I guess my question for you guys was, I haven't seen that report. Does that mean that the box office tickets are no longer available, like if you purchase the day of the game? Because that's what I've been able to get the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. It's going from some of it being ticketless to 100% mobile tickets.
Well, then Brady needs to retire then, because that's going to ruin my collection.
You collect tickets of games that you did not go to.
I collect every single game he's played in, home, away, as well as playoffs, including Super Bowl.
Wow. How do you get them?
eBay, Craigslist, you know, all the different, you know, websites that are out there.
Wow. Adam, good for you, man.
Yeah,
that's impressive.
Take your kids through college with that later.
That's commitment. That is commitment right there.
Every game Brady's ever played in. That's something
else. Home, away,
else.
And playoffs. What about preseason?
Wait, are these tickets worth anything? I should have asked him that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, Dan, do you save your tickets from games you've been to?
Depends on the meaning of them. You know what I mean? If I take my son, or if it's a family game, or if I take my daughter and it was a special game. You know,
I've always saved them. I've saved every ticket.
All of them.
From forever.
Really?
Yeah. The wife saves all of them.
Since I was like 5 years old.
She's got like a big box of everything we've gone to.
I don't like organize them or look at them, but yeah. I have them all. They're just, I don't even know where they all are.
Every once in a while, you find that box in the basement, though, and you look through them, and you're like,
this is great.
It's like Clark Griswold.
But I'm wondering, if those are worth something, is there anything for like the Bledsoe Mo Lewis game? I mean, that was Brady's first like appearance. I got that in there somewhere.
I got the AFC Championship game when Cundiff missed the kick. That's probably somewhere.
Yeah, what's that worth? Worth anything?
I don't think so.
Am I worth millions here? Trying to figure out.
I think that collection, but I don't know how you
would. Dan just mentioned you can put your kids through college on a Brady ticket collection. I'm just wondering if I can contribute.
How would you organize and make that into a collector's item? The Brady one, because it would be the size of like that board that you see, at least that, right?
Yeah, it's 18 years, right?
Yeah. And you'd have Brady sign it maybe, but some of those tickets, the Patriots tickets are huge from Gillette, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes?
Yeah.
They're pretty.
Like, I have an old ticket at home from like 1981 was a player's strike, right, in baseball.
Yeah.
So like the game never happened. It's like an unused ticket from that my father handed down to me.
That's like I have a Patriots.
I knew someone that once upon a time had a ticket to Game 6 of the 75 World Series, and it was unused.
Really?
Yeah, I think he probably still has it. I have to ask him, but he's got that. That's pretty cool.
I have a hat saying Patriots are Super Bowl champions from the 96-97 Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah, because I was at a play. I was working for BZAM. And I was at the same place, and one of those pop up shops was next to me that sold a bunch of memorabilia.
They're not supposed to sell the stuff before.
No, but
it
I got to know the guy, you know, throughout the whole. We were there for like 8 days or whatever, and we would just talk back and forth. And I'd go get him a cup of coffee or something. And at the end, he came back. We were doing a post game show, and he's like, "Dude, I'm so sorry that you guys lost and whatever." And he said, "Hey, here," and he tossed me one of these. He goes, "Keep it as a collector's item." So I still have it.
Memorabilia talk.
Jeff in the car. Jeff, what do you have?
Hey, Nick, it's so good to hear you in the afternoon, man.
Oh, thanks.
You bet. So, yes, memorabilia. Every single wall in my living room has the ticket with the poster of the game. I'll give you a parental moment here. My son's first Bruins game was against the Hurricanes. That was the game that they scored 3 PK goals in 1 minute, 4 seconds or something, and that was his very first game. I have those tickets right on that poster, and every time there's a family hard time with my son or whatever, I look at that thing with him, and you get kind of teary.
Well, what happens when you have to look at your phone for your digital tickets from the game?
No.
Giant mark.
I was there at that game, too.
It in something, and then the whole thing goes away. The magic moment disappears. No.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But thank you, guys. Yeah.
Okay, Jeff.
Can't have that. Thank you.
Jeff can't have it.
They mean a lot.
Can't have that digital crap.
Not going to accept it.
I still have in my wallet, I think, is the first game I took my son to at Fenway. When he was, I think, 6 weeks old.
Wait a minute. Keep it in your
wallet? Yeah, I don't know if I still have it. I'll look.
Right now?
Yeah.
What, do you have, like, a filing cabinet for a wallet?
No. And in the back. That's all. Not yet. I used to. I don't know where
that
I
That is a thick wallet, Dan Roach. You got a lot of stuff in there.
Costanza-like?
Yes, it is.
You do have a Costanza? Let me see it.
It's so Costanza-like. And it's,
God!
It's a little Costanza.
Plus, it's a Rawlings. So look at that. You got the innings. You got the scoreboard in
of
there.
Of course,
stuff
it's a
like
baseball
that.
Wait, you have a Rawlings wallet?
I'm surprised it's not like a Red Sox.
That is the most Roachian thing of all Roachian
things. It's such a
Roachian
thing.
Peter, that guy called back, by the way.
Which one?
The guy with the ticket prices.
Yeah, what's he got?
Mo Lewis game, 400 to 600.
Shut up.
Are you kidding me?
Brady's first start, 600 to 700.
Oh my God.
And Snowball, 1200.
Mo Lewis game is worth 400 to 600?
That's what he said. He called back.
Vegas has paid for
mine
a little
is
a, bit for you
mine
now.
Is officially for sale. You know what? I think I have two of them. My dad and I were
really?
At the game together. I'm sure I have two of those things.
Tweet at Bertrand
sold
if you
want Snowball one for 700 on eBay.
Oh my God.
Wow. Tweet Bertrand right now. That ticket is available if you want it.
I got a lot of Brady games from over the years.
I
got
to ask the wife to pull out the tickets now when I get home.
Not in recent years.
Yeah, I don't have it. I replaced
Holy
it with
crap.
I replaced it with a Georgetown Villanova.
Oh,
ticket. My son and I went to a game for Christmas.
This is unbelievable. Roachy, what are you going to do when you can't put those ticket stubs in your wallet?
I know.
And here you were 5 minutes ago being like, "Oh, it's fine."
Yeah, but
that's fine, guys.
The new ticket stub is. All the pictures you take with your phone and the
Facebook.
Videos you take and all that stuff and the Facebook posts.
Not
the
same.
Gross.
No, but that's what's going to be
gross.
The new ticket stub.
Facebook's starting to
you
suck, by the
way. You disgust me with that comment, Jim Lowe.
Like, I took my kid to the BC game and I took a picture with him in the end zone where you see BC in the end zone. Like,
yep.
That's
cool.
But
that's
I had the ticket stub too, but
yeah,
in the future.
Then you do a montage and you give it to him for Christmas.
Jesse in New Hampshire. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, guys. So what's going on, Beto? What's up, Roachy?
Hey.
Hey, so when I was a kid, me and my dad went to a baseball game on his birthday, and it was same day as Nomar's birthday. I hit 3 home runs against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, probably my favorite baseball moment, made me a fan for life. I didn't have that ticket still hanging on my wall now. I mean, I wouldn't have that same love, I don't think. Like, honestly, that's just such a great moment that I can look at this ticket and remember that I was there.
It's true. You know,
Roachy, I'm going home today, and I'm going to find the box.
I know.
Tickets,
I'm dying to see what you have.
I'm going to ask the wife.
I'm going to find them where the hell they are. I know they're in there somewhere.
I am asking my wife to get that box of tickets out, and I need to search through and see what I can make off of it.
Supply and demand is going to be way off whack after today's show.
Yeah. Bertrand and me just throwing all the
flooded.
Tickets we have. Yeah.
Every member of
the market
shop.
With tickets.
All the listeners out there right now, like, can't wait to get home and find out how much my tickets are worth now.
Steve is in Quincy. Hi, Steve.
What's going on, guys? You know, I mean, just touching on this, there's no way that this could possibly stick. I mean, these sports, the Ticketmasters and all these companies, I mean, they're going to go berserk. I mean, how are they going to function? I mean, I think some of them buy season tickets and resell them. But then there's other sites where they buy people's tickets and resell them. I just don't see. I think they see lawsuits coming.
You can still do it though. You can still move your tickets. You can move them to somebody else's phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you can still sell them. So this is what I don't understand. So I guess if you have to do it digitally, there's less chance of you counterfeiting the tickets, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Or fraudulent tickets, as they're saying, they're trying to cut down on the fraud.
Right. You can't print them up.
Right.
So yeah. So you have that mark. I don't know how you do that mark again.
Right. But if you can move the tickets digitally, you can move them and sell them digitally. That's what I would say. I don't think this is going to prevent resale of tickets. I don't know,
though. What would the teams be able to keep track of? You know,
but if you did,
they'd be able to keep track of those better, right?
I mean, it's nice to have the mobile tickets as a backup. That's how I look at it. It's nice to have the feature where if you're on your way to the game and you go, oh, crap, I left the tickets on the kitchen table.
Yes.
Then you have them on your phone and it's great. Here's my proof. I have my tickets. But to not have the paper ones, I bet if you did a poll of the fans, you'd get a high percentage of people that say, I don't want to give up my paper tickets. I like the paper tickets. I like the hard copy.
It's like even when you go to the airport, people still like to have their printed tickets, even though you can just, you know, put it over the monitor.
Kevin is in Lynn. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
Good.
I mean, I've had plenty of times where I go out before the game, and then halfway through the game, your phone dies. What happens if your phone dies, you go up for a beer, you come back down, some drunk idiot sitting in your seat? How are you supposed to prove that those are your seats?
Right. Excellent point.
You've got to pull out your phone. And
but if your phone's dead?
Oh, the phone's dead.
My phone
now
died.
Well,
now I have to go up to
now
the,
you're screwed.
I have to go find a phone charger and wait for security to look at my phone once it's charged up to prove that these are actually my seats, and this jackass in my seats is not the guy who has these seats.
Now you got to email the people that you were with at the game just in case your phone dies. You might have to go to their phone.
Well, I have to call customer service again, Denver Broncos? If you don't have a smartphone, call customer service.
You got to get the customer service person on the phone to talk to the person who's sitting in your seat.
Where they will then sell you a smartphone with a data plan.
And they
just can't work out.
Thousands of people at customer service.
What a joke.
Man.
What a joke.
It's all a scam.
This is disgusting.
It's a scam, Beetle.
Awful. Scam. We're talking more about this scam that the Denver Broncos are running. And, by the way, it's only a matter of time before this hits here in New England. Celtics, Bruins, yes. Red Sox, Patriots, whatever it is. One of these teams is going to go to this soon. This is now going to be the way it goes. And it's horrible. 90 seconds, no commercials here.